Good morning. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Welcome to the 11th day of Christmas, where we continue to celebrate Christ's coming and Christ being here with us, made manifest with us, our God with us, Emmanuel. And we'll be celebrating Epiphany very soon in a few days and celebrating the manifestation of Christ in all his glory, not just his humanity, but his kingship as our Savior and Lord in the light that he brings. So would you please stand? We're going to begin singing. All glory be to Christ. Let's start our year off this way.
Oh.
Amen. You all may be seated at this time. If you have kids to go in classrooms, the classrooms that are open, if you want to go down now and bring your kids, it's going to be a little different. This morning, I'm actually going to come down and join you guys in the front. We're going to talk a little bit about our new series.
So welcome to you if you are new or visiting with us this morning. My name is Matt Schwartz. I'm one of the pastors here at Terra Nova. And on behalf of Pastor Ruben, Pastor Daniel, myself, we welcome you here. We're glad that you joined us in 2026. Doesn't feel quite right yet, but we are here in a new year yet again. And we celebrate and live in the beauty of God's truth. This morning, that never changes. The years might, but
the love of God and his hope in the gospel does not. And so we are going to, we're going to take some time this morning to kind of brief you and help you understand where we're going in the next 4 weeks here. We have a short series on the book of 1 John. And we have been in a series called Becoming the Church, where we're really digging into what it means that we are the church gathered, like how God has called his people to gather and why we do that and the importance of that. And the elders, we thought, what a great opportunity to do a mini-series on the book of 1 John, which really the vehicle for this entire book is this idea of love and abiding in the love of God. And so if we are to be the church, we can talk all day about systems and structures, but at the end of the day, we need to know that it is the love of Christ that calls us together and fuels the ways that we live and why the church is set apart and different than the rest of the world. It's fitting as well that we will be in the season of Epiphany starting on January 6th. We'll have a time where we talk about and where we really think about Jesus coming and being made manifest with us. And the book of 1 John starts this way. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life that was with the Father and which was made manifest to us. And so this idea of Jesus coming at Christmas time in the incarnation and then celebrating his kingship and his life, flesh and spirit together. So these ideas are all kind of coming together for a beautiful series, I hope. And so we would ask that you would have your Bibles open for the duration of today's service. We're actually going to read the entire book of 1 John, all 5 chapters. And we would ask also if you have a pencil or pen and you'd like to keep notes, to be underlining, circling, jotting down as you hear the scripture read. We don't want to do much more by the way of introduction than just hearing the word of God. And so for the next couple of minutes, I would like to just, I know I just said we're not going to do too much for intro, but just to kind of get the stage set. You can also, for those of you who don't have a Bible, totally cool, there's a blue book. It says ESV on the front. You can use those as well. First John is all the way in the back. I forgot to grab a page number. If somebody has a page number, they can shout it out to me. 1210. Thank you so much. So the epistle of 1 John is one of the most beautifully cohesive and cyclical books in the New Testament. And I mean cyclical by it's very easy to get lost, in the best sense of that word, in the wonderment of John's expository on the beauty and the mystery of God's love. These themes intertwine and cyclically weave together into a beautiful tapestry of text here. And these themes are profound, and they exude praise and adoration. And the only way to really understand the cyclical nature and kind of the form and structure is to read it from beginning to end as it was meant to be read to the local church. So, three times throughout this whole entire book, and you'll hear them, we will hear that God's love is perfected in us. That God's love is perfected in us somehow when we are loving each other. And so, again, as I said, the one of the main reasons for this book is to understand that as the church gathered, as we become the church is the epicenter for where God says that he will perfect his love by us showing love to one another. I think that's a really incredibly profound idea that you won't quite get your brain around ever, but we're gonna try to you know, throw some flesh on that idea and understand that a little bit better by the end of the series. So that God sent his son in the greatest act of love, not to prove anything, but that we would take that love and that we would give it to others and that we would abide in it and share in it. And that would be the cornerstone, kind of the marking point of our church gathered. Now, just very objectively, the epistle of John was most likely written by the Apostle John, the same John who wrote the Gospel of John, the same John who, exiled on the island of Patmos, wrote the book of Revelation. And it's interesting, if you look at his gospel, it starts, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So a really high 30,000 foot view of this is who our Christ is. And then, as I just read, the letter of 1 John starts with, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which we have touched with our hands." So this very experiential perspective on who Christ is. So very 30,000 foot view, here's Jesus and kind of, you know, meta-narrative and understanding from the beginning who Jesus is. And then we see a John who has walked with Christ, who has worked with Christ, who has eaten with him, who experientially understands, both cognitively and fleshly, knowing who Jesus is. So it's a beautiful overlay of both his gospel and his epistle. Just another highlight of the theme of love in this book. John says this. He says, the same John who said in his gospel, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So that was in his gospel. And then in the epistle, we see that kind of the epicenter for the expression of love is to be, or the expression of our local church is to be love. So let's not miss that. N.T. Wright, scholar, New Testament scholar, says this. He says, "The main theme of this book, of 1 John, is the love of God as revealed in Jesus and his death, needing to be worked out in and through the life of the community." So even the scholars have said, the best place to work out the love of Christ is within a community. And so we feel and understand and believe strongly that what a great place and probably the ordained place for the working out of the love of Christ. The difficulty that we have today with love is we have this idea of sin. And John talks a lot about sin in 1 John. He talks a lot about this competing force, the Antichrist, and also talks about idolatry as being kind of the antithesis of what it means to love one another. And these two things are warring against each other. And the word abide comes again and again, 22 times, I think, in this letter. Abide, abide. We can either be abiding in the world or we can be abiding in Christ. And so he talks about those two things. And he ends the book with this phrase, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." And I don't think that's an afterthought. I think that's actually the glue that kind of holds the entire book together. And so I'll just state that. The last thing we're going to read is, "Little children, keep yourself from idols." But let's remember that as we start from the beginning, and he's warning us to abide in Christ, not in the world, which would be idolatry, but to abide in Christ. So we are going to start by reading chapter 1, and then we are going to respond with a song. And then we're going to read chapter 2 and respond with a song, chapter 3 and a song, etc. Once we get through chapter 5, we'll sing two songs, and at that point we will do our communion time, which I'll announce for us and remind us. But as we hear the scripture read, as I mentioned, underline things that really pop out to you, circle things, highlight things. And I encourage you, as we did when we studied 1 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, take periods throughout this month to read the entire book from beginning to end. As I said, the themes in this book are beautiful, and they're intertwined into this tapestry of what it means that Jesus gives us his love to be carried out in the church. And it's easier to see that if we read from beginning to end. So we want the Holy Spirit to be here, and I'll pray for us in just a moment. We want the Holy Spirit to speak through the text and to speak into your hearts. And as we start this new year, let's start with filling our souls and our minds and our bodies with the word of Christ. All right? So let's do it. So I believe Byron, where's Byron? I think he's got the first chapter. So come on up, Byron. And I'm just going to pray for us, and we're going to hear chapter 1, and then we will respond with the song and continue doing that until we're done with the book. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving us your word. We thank you for coming to us so that, as John says, we could hear and feel and experience you. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you have promised to be with us and promised to carry us through this life. We thank you that you are ever present now. I pray that you would illuminate the word into our hearts this morning, that we would understand who you are better and understand what it is that your love is perfected in us when we share it, when we experience it with one another. Please help us in places that we might not understand, or areas that we might be convicted of sin, or areas that we might just need encouragement this morning. Would you speak loudly into our hearts? And as we continue to celebrate this Christmas season, let it be not lights and gifts, but the promise and the hope of the gospel. So let us learn from you now and open our hearts to you. In your name we pray, amen.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us.
Feel free to stand or remain seated through any of these songs if you need extra time to just ponder and write. That's totally up to you. Let's respond and sing.
Hope forever. Chapter 2. Christ, our Advocate. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, "I know him," but does not keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. The new commandment. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Warning concerning Antichrist. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrist have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they are not of us. But you have been anointed of the Holy One, by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Christ, that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. Children of God. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him.
See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us.
Thank you. Jesus, the Savior, did come for to die for poor ordinary people like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother.
Kings of Orient are bearing gifts. We traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, oh star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over us all to incense to offer I have, incense owns a deity nigh, prayer and praising, amen raising, worship God most high.
star of wonder, star of night, star in royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life to those who commit sins that do not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols.
I'll ask the communion team to come forward now as we prepare to celebrate communion. If you are born of Christ, meaning if you have put your faith and trust in him, this is a time that we celebrate together. the love of Christ, which was made manifest to us who lived a perfect life and who died a death on the cross. We believe this by your faith. In chapter 5, verse 4, we just read, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this victory that has overcome the world, our faith." In faith, we have in Christ that he has died, but he has risen again, that he lives with us and for us. And that is the truth that has come to us at Christmas that we celebrate through the rest of the year. Our God has come to us. Our God has loved us. And this is how he showed his love. So let us come over the next two songs as you're ready. Come down this aisle, take the broken bread which represents Jesus' body and dip it in the cup which represents his blood poured out for you. And let us sing the truth of this song. Come and worship Christ, our King.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the field abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with man is now residing,
should nothing of our efforts stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house in vain, its builders strive. To you who boast to at dawn, all glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ, our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. Will be done, his kingdom come on earth as is above. Who is himself our daily bread? Praise him, the Lord of love. Let living water satisfy the
pray this prayer of benediction over you as you go. This is from chapter 4, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Amen, church. Amen. Doxology. Praise God from whom. Amen. We'll see you guys downstairs.